Father, I surely do thank you tonight for being in our midst. I thank you for the joy and the expectation that's in the atmosphere. I thank you, God, that you're building line upon line and precept upon precept, building us up, Father God, for March the 15th. And Father, I thank you that you're dropping your glory all over this world, Lord, right now, and that your people are being changed. And Father God, that your miracles are being performed right now. And Father, I just thank you that you're here with us tonight. You're meeting every need. You know every desire of the heart. You know exactly what needs to be done. And we give you full permission, Father God, to do what you need to do here in this sanctuary tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Everything you read in the last couple of days saying that this month, March, is a great and powerful month. And great and wonderful things are going to be happening. The one I read today that really, it's the one that really got me excited out of everything I read is that our kids are coming home. This month, our kids are coming home. The ones that have walked away, the ones that backslid. They even said the ones that, kids that parents don't know where they're at, they're going to hear from them. They're going to find out where they're at. That's what excited me, was kids are coming home. So parents, if you have a child that's backslid or you don't know where they're at, they're coming home this month. There's so many things that God would love to do to his people if they would just release themselves into his arms. Really. So many things. I just can't understand why we don't want to release ourselves into his arms and just receive everything he has for us. Amen. I'm talking about the body of Christ, not talking about myself or maybe some of you, but I'm talking about the body of Christ. Tonight I want to talk about God's prophets are arising. I read this, I thought it was important, and I thought we need to hear about it because I think it'll help us understand what God is doing with us and where he's taking us to. The Father says he is about to release a new breed of prophets. These are not ordinary prophets, not that there's anything ordinary about God's prophets to begin with, but rather these prophets are very unique, as in out of the ordinary, unusual. All right? So if God's called you as a prophet, get ready to be different. Get ready to be unique. These are the kept ones who have been hidden away in varying degrees to ready them for their future tasks and assignments. Now, see, I want you, most of you people in here prophesy. Some of you are actually prophets. I want you to hear what we're saying here tonight because I hope you understand what's been going on in your life. Theirs is an unusual path which they have been required to walk, and it's been part of their necessary preparation process. The Father knows how to train his prophets. Let's read that one again. These are the kept ones who have been hidden away in varying degrees to ready them for their future tasks and assignments. Theirs is an unusual path which they have been required to walk, and it's been part of their necessary preparation process. The Father knows how to train his prophets. Now, how many of you sitting here tonight, you know that you've been on an unusual path? That God's been taking you places. Dear Lord, do you know what you're doing? And he's requiring things of you that you never thought he'd ever ask you to do, right? Unusual prophets, unusual training. The Spirit of God has done deep, extensive heart work in these prophets. Their training and purifying process has been extremely hard. It's been long, strenuous, and even harsh in many ways. But through this process, their faith has been tested and refined as gold. Your faith has been tested, right? It's been refined as gold, right? Others on the outside looking in have not understood it. I thought of Brother Allen when I read this. I don't understand a thing about that man. Others on the outside looking in have not understood it. And what I'm saying is God's doing a deep work, you know, and I don't understand it. I didn't understand what he was doing to myself either, so there, you know. Instead, they've judged prematurely. They have sought to understand, but without the wisdom of God. One cannot fully understand what God is doing apart from the wisdom the Holy Spirit reveals and imparts. And so what we're saying here is, quit looking. So I said others on the outside looking in have not understood it. Instead, they have judged prematurely. You know, we do not know what God is doing inside a person's life unless God reveals it. And if you might pray and he might reveal it, and you might pray and he might tell you, get your nose out of that. It doesn't belong. You don't belong there. All right. So in other words, then you just leave it alone and you just pray. These prophets, they are truly steady. They are truly ready, steady, and go. And this means more than one might realize. To be ready is to be fully equipped, prepared, and complete. It is to be in a suitable or proper state for action and purpose. Let's read this again. To be ready is to be fully equipped, prepared, and complete. It is to be in a suitable or proper state for action and purpose. It's been a long, hard battle. But I'm hoping that this will help you tonight. To be steady is to be sound, stable, and secure. It is to be firmly fixed, supported, and balanced. It is also to be continuous in development, frequency, or intensity. Let's read that again so that goes in the other ear now. Didn't skip over top of your head. To be steady is to be sound, stable, and secure. Are you there yet? It is to be firmly fixed, supported, and balanced. It is also to be continuous in development, frequency, or intensity. You know, we will always be developing in the Lord. I don't care what God's using us to do or where we're at. We will always be developing because there's always something new that God needs to show his people. To go is to move, advance, or progress from one place or point to another, to travel or depart. It also means to function properly, as in all systems go, which means to be in a state of readiness for immediate action. We'll read that one again, all right? To go is to move, advance, or progress from one place or point to another, to travel or depart. It also means to function properly, as in all systems go, which means to be in a state of readiness for immediate action. God says be instant in season and out of season. You should be ready at any given second for God to tell you to do something, and you should be ready to do it. This perfectly describes these prophets. They are ready. They are steady, and they are about to go forth as God intends. Does that describe you? They are ready, they are steady, and they are about to go forth as God intends. So you have to be ready first. Then God gets you steady, and then he gets you ready to send you forth. It's been a long, hard battle, hasn't it? Getting ready and steady. Amen. Unusual, eccentric, and different are certainly words that delineate them. I really see myself in this, all right? However, they are uncompromising in the things of God. Do not mistake their out-of-the-ordinary ways for disregard or disrespect, because nothing could be further from the truth. They have been chosen by the Father. They have his heart. They walk in obedience and humility, and yet they also walk powerfully in his love, light, truth, and grace. They delight in God's holiness. They delight in being set apart for service to him, his kingdom, and the body of Christ. Now, I really want you all to look at this and say, is this me? And am I at the place where God can use me now? All right, let's read that again. Unusual, eccentric, and different are certainly words that delineate them. However, they are uncompromising in the things of God. Are you uncompromising in the things of God? Come on. Do not mistake their out-of-the-ordinary ways for disregard or disrespect, because nothing could be further from the truth. They have been chosen by the Father. They have his heart. They walk in obedience and humility, and yet they also walk powerfully in his love, light, truth, and grace. They delight in God's holiness. They delight in being set apart for service to Him, His kingdom, and the body of Christ. And God prophesied to one of you in here just the other night that you need to watch because you live in a dark place. If you're not careful, that darkness is going to take you over. So whenever you live in a dark place, you have to have these qualifications in order not to become dark also. You know, you have to love holiness, and you have to be walking in the love of God, and you have to be in obedience and humility. The cost has been extremely high, but it will be worth it all because of the power and authority they will operate in for the sake of the gospel and the advancement of God's kingdom. Now let's read that again. The cost has been extremely high, but it will be worth it all because of the power and authority they will operate in for the sake of the gospel and the advancement of God's kingdom. Let's stop there. The other night I was laying on my bed, and I was just meditating on the Lord, and all of a sudden I said, Father, and I don't know what I felt. I said, I feel so unworthy to come to your throne. Then I said, no, I don't. I'm worthy to. I was picking up somebody else praying, and their little pity party thing. I said, God, that is not me, and I know I'm worthy to come to your throne. I'm coming to your throne tonight, and this is what I want. So whenever you pick up something like that, and you know it's not you, don't wear it. Just say, nah, that's not me. We're all worthy to go before the Father. It doesn't matter what we've done. Jesus Christ paid the price for us, did He not? So don't ever go say, oh, I feel so unworthy. Well, that's just false humility. Get out of it. Amen? You are worthy. So you made a mistake. You know, you have to get over it. And that's not easy to do. And I'm not saying that it is. But you have to get over it if you're going to go any further. You have to get over that hump. And you have to climb higher. Amen? Come on, guys. Yeah, I know you think I'm hard on you, but if I wasn't hard on you, you wouldn't make it. You really wouldn't. This brings up a relevant matter. The magnitude of God's power is going to be revealed in deeper, greater, and more extraordinary ways than we've ever known or seen in our lifetime. And there is a connection between His power and His love. Now, see, this is why God's been having me, because it's Him through me, being so rough on you guys, is because the magnitude of God's power is going to be revealed in deeper, greater, and more extraordinary ways. And he can't give that to a weakling. You have to be strong in the Lord. You have to be bold than we've ever known or seen in our lifetime. And there is a connection between His power and His love. I get so upset with people whenever you correct them, then they'll say, you don't love me no more. Love has nothing to do with it. Love has everything to do with it. Really, if you look at it in the right perspective, I still love you, but this is something you've got to correct in your life. Amen. Kids do that all the time, don't they? Well, you don't love me no more. Let me bop you around a little bit and just show you how much I really do love you. Amen. If I didn't love you, I'd just walk away, wouldn't even do nothing. Let you just do in your own juice, right? This magnitude of God's love and power is going to astound many, even within the body of Christ. We think we know what it is to operate in His love and power, but I sense what we thought we knew about this will pale in comparison to what's coming. It's going to be that mighty and that profound. God's love is going to be so strong. Why do you think about this? You're a child of God, you're a prophet of God, and you're ministering God's word, and all of a sudden you're living in the very midst of hell itself. And then God has you preach, love the unlovable. And then He tells you, be careful lest you, when you preach to others, you yourself fall. So you know you better get that love walk, keep it going. It's because He knew we were coming to a place where His love and His power were going to be together and they were going to be so profound. So He had to place us in that furnace of affliction to get our love walk correct. And instead of us understanding God was trying to, I mean, I understood what God was doing to me. I understood. And I said, God, I'm working on this. I really am working on this thing, but this is hard, you know. But, you know, Instead of us understanding what He's trying to do, we fight Him. Well, that wasn't God, you know. Then we do things we shouldn't do. But when God's trying to get you to walk into perfect love walk, He will put circumstances in your path where you're really going to say, wow, I can't do this, God. This is impossible. But with God, all things are possible, right? Come on. And about the time you think, oh, I got my love walk down, then that person does something even worse than it did before, right? And, oh, Lord, I got to love them. I have to love them. You said so. Or my walk is finished. Do you understand this? Do you understand what kind of people are going to come through those doors eventually? Very messed up people. They're going to need true love. They're not going to need something you conjure up. It's going to have to already be there. It's going to have to be down in the very deepest part of your soul. You're just going to be a sponge of love. Because that's what's going to have to be poured out upon them. That's the only thing that's going to win them to Christ. You can do all the verbal, you know, things about the Bible you want to do, but it's your love that draws the people to the cross. Not you showing them how much of the Bible you've learned. You might have learned it, but you don't know it. Memorize it. The Father will use His children, to display His dynamic love and power. I'm sorry. The Father will use His children to display His dynamic love and power, but these unusual prophets are being especially trained up for unusual manifestation of His love and power. In other words, if you're really a true prophet of God, going to be used of God mightily, then you are in a situation where other people say, boy, I wouldn't do that. And you're in there loving with every fiber of your being because God wants you in there. He wants you to be a prophet that's full, so full of love, the devil can't take it out of you no matter how hard he tries. Are you listening? Paul declared in 1 Corinthians 2, 4, and 5, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If you read verses 1, 2, and 3, he says, I came to you in a lot of fear and trembling and everything else. He said, I really didn't want to come to you, more or less, because I didn't know what I was going to do. So it wasn't him. It was the power of God speaking through him and the love of God speaking through him. These unusual prophets' messages will not be with persuasive words, but with demonstrations of the Holy Spirit's power, so that people's faith won't rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God alone. I cry out every day, God, let your miracle start working in the church. Manifest yourself like you've never manifested yourself before. Because the people are just sitting there saying, oh, well, he is going to do what he said he's going to do. But we have to get our faith moving and understand that God is not a man that he should lie. And understand that he's going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. Not in your timing, but in his timing. But I have news for you. Your timing has run out because it's God's time now. Now is when he wants to do the unusual. Now is whenever he wants to show his great power and his great might through his people. He's given people great wisdom through his word. Remember a couple years ago, God said, when you read the word, you're going to see things you never saw there before. So what's been happening here? We've been reading the word. I mean, I know we played Katie's tapes, but we ourselves have been reading the word. And all of a sudden, I never saw that before. You know, and we're sharing it with one another. Look what God showed me. See, God is showing the body of Christ things. It's always been there, but he's right now showing it to them. Come on. Are you one of those he's shown it to? Are you? You know, when you read the word, or even when you hear, is he showing you something that you've never seen before? And is he bringing you extra revelation when you read something that somebody else has wrote? Then all of a sudden he brings you extra revelation and adds to what they wrote. This is what God is doing to his people. These unusual prophets' messages will not be with persuasive words, but with I know I read it, but we're going to read it again. But with demonstrations of the Holy Spirit's power, so that people's faith won't rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God alone. Get ready for God's power prophets to show up on the scene. All right? Power meaning dunamis. And that's exactly what they are, power or dunamis prophets. The dunamis, pronounced dunamis, power of God, is what they carry because it is what is needed for this time. This is why their training and development have been so extensive and trying. The word dunamis means miraculous power, force, might, and strength. This is what you're going to carry as a prophet, one of these unusual prophets. You're going to carry the miraculous power, force, might, and strength. Amen? And as I was studying, God said that Aaron and Adam were prophets, and you were one of these unusual prophets. You two are. So I don't know what kind of training you've been going through, but before you came here to us, or what you've been going through, but it's all been for this time and this purpose. It's for such a time as this. And what did God say? He's going to bring the people in off the street. And he was going to empower them with power from on high, because the church would not do the work. So he's going to have to get the people on the streets to do the work. Amen. Some of you in here, you've been struggling and struggling and struggling and struggling, and the furnace has gotten hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. But you're stuck in the furnace. You didn't try to get out of the furnace. You just like, God, go ahead and do what burn away all the chaff, right? And let him do what he had to do to get you to the place where he could use you in this end time hour. All right, Strong's Concordance, that romance. Strong's Concordance defines dunamis as physical power, force, might, ability, efficiency, or energy, powerful deeds showing physical power, marvelous works. Wow, you'll be another little Jesus running around here. Amen? Come on. Don't be ashamed of who you are in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I am sick and tired of the devil sticking his face in my face and thinking I should sit there and take it. We're not supposed to do that no more. Amen. We're supposed to stand up as true children of God with boldness, and we're supposed to look him square in the face and back down, devil. We've let him back us into a corner long enough. And now it's time he starts backing up. And the only way that's going to happen is if you stand up boldly and you speak the truth. Come on. I don't care how young these kids are. Gabriel said to me last night, well, what if I just sort of dabble? I said, you don't dabble in nothing. And he has a little bit of trouble with his heart. And so he said to Isaiah last night, he said, my mom's going to kill you. And I said, I am not. And little Isaiah got all upset, And I said, your heart's bothering you right now. And what if you had a heart attack and died? You went straight to hell. Why? Because you just told that child a lie. I was just joking. I said, joking doesn't matter. These kids have got to know the truth. See, the parents don't know the truth, so don't tell the kids the truth, or else the parents are afraid to tell the kids you're going to go to hell. After all, they might go tell somebody that, and they'll put you up for child abuse. I don't care. Amen? Come on. I'm getting tired of 8, 9, and 10, and 14-year-old kids getting up my face, too. I'm sorry, but I'm an older person. You young whippersnappers really upset me when you get in my face whenever you're not walking with God and get ignorant. That bothers me a whole bunch. Wait till you get my age, and then you understand that. Where am I at? It references the word dunama, which means enabled or empowered through God, or power through God's ability. We have to understand everything that we do is powered by God. We have no power to do anything on our own. If God isn't in it, it is not going to get done. It isn't. You hear me? Your flesh might work it for a little while, but your flesh is going to die. And so is your works. But if the Holy Spirit is doing it, and this is what God has said years ago, spirit is calling to spirit, and all religion has to be thrown out. And a lot of people left because I preached that. But your religious spirits drive me to distraction. You aren't going to do anything for God because you're too religious. You don't know the Spirit of God. You have to know the Spirit of God. Amen? Theres, Greek lexicon, translates dunamis as inherent power, or power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. or by which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. Also the power for performing miracles, moral power and excellence of soul, and power consisting in or resting upon armies, forces, and hosts. It's just absolutely powerful, Dunamis says. It's the most wonderful word I've read yet, right, in the Bible. KG told us that's what we're supposed to be, right? Be full of dunamis. Have excellence of soul. Isn't that what she said? Well, did you believe her or not? I believed her. Now I just find myself repeating everything she taught us. Amen? That's why we heard it. So we could use it for our own benefit and then use it for other people too. We didn't hear it just because, oh, that sounded good. No, we're supposed to use and put to work what we are taught. The problem is people don't do that. God isn't inherently powerful. He is all-powerful. And he is revealing his dunamis power in a whole new way in this hour, both inside and outside the church. You know, we expect God to show miracles in one way, and God is showing miracles in another way. We want to see somebody's eyeball pop out, you know, grow in. We want to see a leg being attached, or, you know, or cancer fall off a face. But, you know, that's not the only miracles that God can perform. Those are all wonderful. You wait to what? Is his name Brother Black back there? His name Black? Plaque? Huh? You wait till Brother Plaque is up and does the little jitterbug all around the church when God restores his youth. That's a miracle. Amen? I mean, I'm serious. It's going to happen. I've seen it happen. Older people just all of a sudden jump up and yell, whoop, and start dancing all over the church. Come on. He will use his power, prophets, in a very specific ways, which is what he's had in mind all along. So all your prophets in here that have been whining and complaining for the last 5-10 years, you should never have done that. Because God had you in your training camp. And he was training you for this day and this hour. Don't you wish you could go back 10 years? Know what you know today and go back and not ever complain ever again. Amen? I think you would, because I said to God, if you give me any more children to raise, I will not raise them like I did my first. I raised my own one way. I raised my other grandchildren the same way. I raised my other grandchildren the same way. I'm raising these the same way. So I did everything the same way. No matter how much I tried to change, I didn't change. So we would still complain. So quit wanting to go back 10 years and undo. Because you wouldn't undo anyhow. You would do the same thing all over again. Amen? You ever think, because that might be where God wanted you at that time? So he could bring you through what you had to go through to be the strong tower that others can run into? So let's quit complaining where God had us. Let's quit complaining what we went through. Let's just thank God we went through. Thank God we're his children. And we're still alive and kicking. Amen? These prophets will infuse the body of Christ with God's dynamic power and love. They will also help ready, steady, and go the church in this particular time as the Holy Spirit directs. In other words, these prophets are going to make the church straighten up. They're going to get their whip out. Get your act together. Equipping the people of God. One of the functions of the office of prophet is to equip the people of God for works of service. You hear that? One of the functions of the office of a prophet is to equip the people of God for works of service, for what they are called to do, and to help build them up into unity and maturity in the faith. That's what I've been trying to do to you guys. Amen? Read that again. One of the functions of the office of prophet is to equip the people of God for works of service, for what they are called to do, and to help them build them and help build them up into unity and maturity in the faith. Therefore, we absolutely need ready, steady, sent ones to help teach, train, and prepare all believers. Y'all need me, don't even know it. See? See, what happens is I train you, and then you go and you train somebody else. Then they go and train somebody else. We're all supposed to be making disciples. We just don't take what we have and hug it to our bosom. We give it away. Then when we give it away, God gives us more. Are you understanding this? Do you wonder why so many people come in here and sit and they have to be at about 10 minutes of my preaching to get up and leave? It tickles me. I sit and watch people, you know, they sort of scooch around and, you know, and they get their pocketbook sort of situated and start buttoning their coat, you know, start sliding their stuff over. Next thing you know, whoosh, and out the door they go. Just get up and walk out. Don't go through all that. Why do they do it? They cannot stand strong teaching. They don't want to know the truth. And when they start hearing the truth, they say, boy, that woman's crazy up there. Amen. So, what, you know, I always think about, for the past week, God's had me thinking about Gideon's army. What do you have, 4,000 or something like that? 32,000. And brought it down to 300, right? Gideon had all these men that he thought he needed to go to war. And then God kept weeding them out till he only had 300. He said, now with this 300, you go and win that battle. So what's been God been doing at the lighthouse? He's been bringing people in, taking them back out. Bringing people in, taking them back out. He said, when I'm all done, you'll have a handful that I'll be able to use to start the works that I really want to start in this area. So all the ones that left weren't strong enough to stay in this army. Come on. They weren't crazy enough. See, you have to be crazy to stay in the army of God that fights the enemy, right? You have to be a little bit unbalanced. You know, you just get out there and just start fighting. And you know, but you know what you're doing now. But you just get out there and start fighting and start just tearing the devil up. And next thing you know, hey, I won another battle. Right? Come on. If you'd ever hear Brother Sister Nancy Willis call me and tell me, I'm not gonna lose this one. I'm going to win. I'm fighting. And she fights and she fights. This has been the fightingest woman I've ever seen in my life. But look where God has brought her. This is why the fivefold ministry is so vital to the body. It is why Jesus gave them apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers as gifts to his bride. They are an extension of himself. And he knew we needed all five of them functioning together in order for us to rightly grow and mature. My first calling is an evangelist. God called me out as an evangelist. And then somehow or other I got a church. And somehow or other I got on and on and on, you know, but till I became the fivefold ministry. So you don't know where God's going to start you, but you go ahead and let God start you where he wants you. And then you just keep following him, doing what he's asking you to do, and you'll get fought every inch of the way. The ones in your household will fight you the most. They'll come against you, make you feel you're unworthy and everything else, but you don't pay no attention to that because you know you're worthy. And if they were following God the way they ought, they wouldn't make you feel that way. Are you listening? There's something in them that they need healed, that they keep trying to tear you down. And yet, well, let me see. I said, they are extensions of himself, and he knew we needed all five of them functioning together in order for us to rightly grow and mature. And yet, he is also raising up some of these prophets as ministers to those outside of the church. Hear that? It's part of their unconventionality. They do not walk and talk like church prophets. They're peculiar. They do not walk and talk like church prophets. They are not designed to, so they can't. You'll never understand. Sometimes I could say, God, please don't do this to me. I'll be standing up here and all of a sudden he goes off on one of his tangents. I said, God, please don't make me do this. You know, but it's God doing it. And so instead of you saying, God, please don't do this, just say, God, go ahead, God, do your thing. Let's get it over with so we can move on, right? Come on. This is why we cannot misunderstand their purpose. God is doing a new thing. And isn't that what he said? Because God said to me, daughter, I'm doing a new thing in your life and you're uncomfortable because you know what I'm doing. And he was right. I didn't. I do now, but I didn't. How many of you have been uncomfortable, but now you're not uncomfortable because now you understand what he's doing in your life? Amen. And he is raising up a generation of unusual ministers to use. One day I come in here, you know, Reverend Allen, I looked at him, I said, would you please get a haircut? His hair was all bushed up like a wild man. His eyebrows were all every which way. His beard was all unruly, you know. And so when I come in the evening, he goes, you got your hair cut? He goes, no, I just combed everything. But when I looked at him, I thought, well, he looks like one of these wild ministers that used to be on the circuit. Minister to God. So when I wrote this down, I thought that just describes Brother Allen to a T. Amen. He's an unusual minister. You have to be able to laugh at yourself, guys. You're not going to make it. Come on. Power prophets are a unique breed because they have been chosen to walk in the dunamis power of God for this time, and not for themselves, but for the purpose of the Lord to be fulfilled as He desires. You're there to do God's work. So get prepared for the ready, steady, sent ones, but don't expect ordinary or usual with these prophetic ministers. Amen. You know, they are different, and the Father purposely created and trained them this way. You know, when I come up here Sunday night, I was going to tell you all about, you know, how we need to get prepared for the revival, and then God did this, that, and the other. I offended some people, and I said, God, all I want to do is get up there and tell them that we had to get ready for the revival, the glory drop that's coming, and instead of all other things were said, and they get upset. I was just instructing. See, God said, you're not instructing right, though, so I'm going to interject a few things here. So you guys, you young kids sitting back there, when God starts using you, let Him interject. It'll be good. It's good for people to get their eyebrows raised. It really is. And their shackles of their hair standing on end, isn't it, though? You know, that way they know they're not dead, right? Come on. And you go home, you say, poof. Who do they think they are? Well, then you'll start thinking about what they said. Next thing you say, oh, well, maybe it wasn't so bad anyhow, right? Come on. So I said, so get prepared for the ready, steady, sent ones, but don't expect ordinary or usual with these prophetic ministers. They are different, and the Father purposely created and trained them this way. So guys, if you're different, God created you that way, and He trained you that way. And don't be like me and say, God, I don't like who I am anymore. I like that quiet little person. But you know, quiet little person has got to grow up. You know, because we're in a battle. And we have to learn how to fight. And it doesn't matter if people come against you. You know, you're trying to teach people, I'm scared to death of her. You better be scared to death of me. Amen. Because I'm training you how not to lose. Come on. Come on. If I let you sit and do any old thing you want to, you couldn't go to battle. You might as well not even come to church. Come on. I just did. Okay, they are different, and their Father purposely created and trained them this way. We will all be the better for receiving them as He sends them. I'm going to tell you, you guys are going to be sent out like this. You're going to find yourself doing things like this, and you'll say, oh, like I do, oh, not again. But, you know, you are a peculiar prophet. You're special. You're unique. And God made you that way, and just like that, and trained you this way. And God doesn't want you to want to go back to your old dull lifestyle of everybody loving you. Nobody ever loved me, but you know, being quiet and meek and you're letting everybody walk all over you, you know, whatever you was going. He doesn't want that. We are building armies. You know, World War III is going to break out. God gave me that prophetic word over 20 years ago now. It is going to break out. But also the war in the church is breaking out, has already broken out. And if we aren't strong, it's going to take us out. We are sons of thunder, are we not? Yes. Come on. We're able to march to God's drumbeat, aren't we? We have the backbone of steel and the forehead of flint. And the enemy cannot back us down. He can't. You know, and it's about time we start kicking the enemy. Get out of my camp. You don't belong in my camp. We're not of the same breed. And so you and I will never get along. You don't want the things of God. You know, the deep things of God. You might want to play around on top of the, dance on top of the Bible, but that's not going to work. You might dig into the Word, you might know more than I do, but you're not walking the walk. Come on. Don't be impressed about what people know about the Bible. Be impressed about the fruit that they're bearing. Come on, saints. God taught me that right off the get-go. He said, watch the people that know a lot. Watch their fruit. And it was never good fruit. So what kind of fruit are you bearing tonight? Are you bearing good fruit? Then you're a strong tower that others can run into. Are you set in your ways? What I'm saying is your feet are rooted and grounded in a rock, and you're going to go all the way with God. You're not going to look to the left, to the right. You're not going to go backwards. You're going to go straight ahead. No matter what it takes, you're going to go straight ahead and do the things God called you to do. Amen? Come on. You know, and little Gabriel's, you know, I do his homeschooling, and he's studying about Joseph right now, and you know, Joseph was a favorite of God's, right? But Joseph had to go to prison and endure all that stuff he had to endure to get where God wanted him. But then David was one of God's chosen too. He never went to prison, did he? So if God wants to put you in prison, so be it. If he wants to take another one, just let them go ahead and lollygag along and still be their favorite, so be it. It's not our business what God does with somebody else. Who was it, Peter? Was it Peter asking God about John who laid his head on Jesus? And Jesus said, don't you worry about him. You worry about your own walk. Amen? Come on. You're too busy worrying about the guy next door, and you should be worried about your own self. And I'm here to tell you tonight that you guys are going to be unusual. You're going to be unusual. And you're going to be strong, and you're going to be bold, and you're going to go forth with the gospel on your mouth, and it's going to be Holy Spirit inspired, and you're going to see souls won wherever you go. And when you preach the word is going to have power in it, and it's going to change lives. You're not going to go out there and preach a weak gospel, because that is not going to happen anymore, not for if you're sitting in here. Come on. So, are you ready? This is no altar call, so please don't jump up. Are you ready really to be a strong tower that others can run into? Are you ready to be peculiar and different? And it doesn't matter who likes you or who doesn't like you. And I'm talking about other ministers now. But you're going to do what God's called you for to do. Because the body of Christ, too many have died and gone to hell because there has not been strong ministers behind the pulpit. Come on. God's wanting to know, are you really going to be that strong tower that others can run into? Are you really going to be one of those that's not going to compromise the gospel, but you're going to go forth walking in holiness, living holiness, and preaching holiness? And if you see somebody that's sinning, you can't, oh, well, that's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. You've got to quit your sin if you're going to go to heaven. Who are you to judge me? I'm not judging you. That's what the Word of God says. And right now you're sinning, and if you die right now, you go straight to hell. Somebody told me a couple years ago, you should never tell anybody they're going to go to hell. That's not right. Where should I tell them they're going to go? On a blue cloud somewhere? Come on. God tells me I'm going to lose my salvation if I'm not careful. So why can't I tell somebody else that? I want you to really think about this. How strong is your walk with God? Are you really wanting to go all the way with him, or are you just, like Gabriel said, dabbling? Now, when you've really decided what you're going to do with your life, then God's going to move on you. He has to move now, because now is the timing for his glory to drop. And he has been preparing you guys for a while now to be the glory carriers. Now, each one of you have been making up your mind every day whether or not you're going to be fit to carry the glory. So you know what you've been doing, and you know whether or not you've been crying out to God and asking God to let you be a glory carrier. And if you are, God is. I'm hearing God say, if you are, you will be endued with dumenous power from on high. And you will go forth and do the great and mighty works he's called you forth to do. And you will see great signs, wonders, and miracles happen wherever you go. But you don't go with that purpose in mind. You go with the purpose of preaching my gospel. And then the souls will be saved. Amen? You know, you get a lot of sinners in a room who haven't been sitting in the house of God. But you get a lot of sinners in a room, and you start preaching the gospel, and all of a sudden, because you're preaching the gospel, miracles start happening. That's going to get somebody's attention. And this is the way God's going to work. I'm telling you, as I'm hearing it, this is the way he's going to work. It's as you go preaching the gospel, then it'll follow with signs, wonders, and miracles. But you don't go wanting signs, wonders, and miracles first. Amen? You preach the gospel, and then the other follows. Now, when I told God I wanted to see the healing back, and we've been preaching the gospel for a long time. So me asking for the healing power to come back again is not wanting that ahead of the word. God said he's given some of you a heads up tonight that you're about ready to have a great visitation from him. Where will you be when he visits you? He's saying, will you be in the land among the living, or will you be standing among the dead? How many of you, you guys who've really been walking right, how many of you sometimes you wake up and you say, dear God, please, I don't want to lose you. You just automatically say, I don't want to lose you. Please don't take your spirit from me. You don't know why you do that. And I really believe it's because somewhere in our sleep pattern, something happened to make us fear that we were losing our salvation. How many in here don't want to lose your salvation? How many of you in here, you just really, truly do want to finish the race that God has set before you? Those are the ones now can come up to the altar, because those are the ones that God's going to touch tonight with his dunamis power. And you're going to find out that your whole life is going to change.